Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. I want to get things started right away here. We're very excited about today. It is International Day on Turnbuckle Turmoil, bringing you some of the wrestling talent from all over the world coming together here on the show to talk about what it is to be an international talent here in the United States. With us at this moment, I would like to introduce our guest. We have with us Sheik Ali Akbar, and we also have with us Mr. Sonny Ono. So just to get a little background, to start off, if you wouldn't mind telling us the country that you represented when you came to the United States and hit the professional wrestling scene, and maybe a little bit about why you decided to get into wrestling here in the United States and represent said country. We'll start with Mr. Ono.
Yeah, hey, nice to have me to be on your show. And to give you a little bit of background, I'm the English is my second language, as most of us on the show today, but even you Canadians. But I'm originally from Japan. I at the young age of 11 or so, I came to the United States with my parents, and I was always involved in martial arts and traveled around the country in my early 20s, competing, fighting, and martial arts. And through that, you know, I one of my fellow competitors was a guy named by Eric Bischoff that most of you fans know who he is. And later on in the years, we done some business together. Matter of fact, Eric has a DVD out, produced by World Wrestling Entertainment, just came out or just being released, and it kind of tells you how he got into the business, and he actually credit me for getting him in business. And after he moved to Atlanta and became a vice president of operation for World Championship Wrestling, he invited me to help him with a business with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so being bilingual, got involved to bring their New Japan talent into Japan or to WCW. And that's how my job started. And when we started bringing those talent over here and they needed a mouthpiece manager who could speak English, because obviously in television, wrestling in the United States is different as it is in Japan. You know, you could be a great talent. It's a great wrestling talent, and not speak any Japanese, you can go over there and still work there. But it's not the same way when a foreign talent comes to United States to work, especially in television business. You're going to have to be able to communicate. Thus, many of the foreign talent has a manager such as myself or to help them communicate the storyline for the wrestling. So that's basically how it got into business, really. And we had quite a bit of run with all the New Japan talent in WCW.
All right. Sheik Ali Akbar, you want to tell us a little bit about what country you represent and what led you to get into the pro wrestling here in America?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here today. I'm talking about the turmoil, and I come from the great country of Syria. You may know about that country from the news and the headlines. I grew up in a wealthy family, we had satellite television. That means I grew up with a lot of territory, you know, the great territories from wrestling, you know, Mid-Atlantic, Florida, world class, AWA. I decided at a young age I want to go to America. I want to become a wrestling business. I was not a very, I guess you say, big man, so I wanted to either manage or wrestling. I come to America in 1995. I broke in wrestling in 1996. First, I broke in as a manager. Then I started to working out and got some friends. I wrestled for about maybe 5 years, and then I go back into managing because I figured in wrestling, the longevity in the wrestling business is wrestling and manager. And I want to be in the wrestling business for a long time, you know?
Absolutely. Now, we are now joined by Daifula Dabashi. So, Dabashi, same question to you. Can you tell us what country you represent and what led you to getting into pro wrestling here in the United States?
Hello, everyone. Well, Sana, Yemen. Parents came to the United States when I was young. I've, you know, been back and forth. You know, it's a lot of turmoil over there in Yemen right now. But what led me into wrestling, I loved it. What was the question again, sign guy? I'm sorry.
What led to you getting into professional wrestling here in America representing Yemen?
Well, I'm proud of my heritage. I grew up loving it. I was at the right place at the right time. Idolized the original Sheik from Lansing, Michigan. Great family. And Abdullah the Butcher took me under his wing. Another guy I grew up watching who terrorized everybody. And pretty much that's what got me into it. Just loved it. I remember in the mornings, rest in peace, my cousin Abdullah would come, and about 11 o'clock at night, we watched Portland Wrestling and fell in love with it. And then I remember watching wrestling on Superstation WTBS when we first got cable. And the first thing I saw was when the Freebirds attacked Ted DiBiase and busted his neck, and Tommy Rich made the save, and I was hooked ever since.
Very, very nice. Now, for a lot of wrestling fans that grew up watching when you gentlemen were getting into the business, if a wrestler was from a foreign country, with the exceptions generally of Canada and sometimes Mexico, more often than not, they were not viewed on favorably by the fans. They were usually the villains in professional wrestling. Now, Mr. Ono, when you came into WCW as an on-air talent, Japan and the United States were allies, but Japanese wrestlers had a very, very long history dating back to the 1950s of being viewed as villains in wrestling, and the political landscape was a little bit different when you broke in. Japan was buying a lot of companies, buying a lot of land in the United States. It made a few Americans a little bit uneasy when that was happening. When you first started out, what was the political landscape like dealing with as far as the fans go? Did you get a sense that they looked on you as sort of a enemy to their own country when you would have to appear in wrestling, or was it something that was a little bit different as far as the type of heat you were generating at that point?
Well, obviously, it's a natural heat for us to you know, represent other country. I mean, all you have to look at any kind of international competition, whether it's in soccer or boxing, or, you know, one of the easiest ways for us to get natural heat is actually obviously competing against a country versus country. And obviously, you know, it's been a long time since World War II when Japan and the United States were at war, but not so much, like you said, we've been allies for a long time. And one of the natural heat was at the time, what you mentioned just a little bit ago, is the fact that at that time, Japanese yen was very strong. Dollar was really weak. You know, many of the Japanese company was buying a lot of real estate, especially golf courses, many company as well. And, you know, and many of the products that were sold in the United States were made in Japan. Japanese television were much more superior, literally, than many of the American produced television. So, you know, as far as it's just natural, and it's a pretty easy heat, and talked about, you know, how superior, you know, we make it smaller and better, you know, and that kind of thing. And because the wealth of the country at the time, this is when you know, before the bubble burst. So, you know, we just use the current event, and that's what we do in wrestling, use current event to put that in the storyline. So, you know, just made one time, we were at Sturgis doing a Hog Wild pay-per-view, and we went to Mount Rushmore, and we had a film crew there, and I think it was Colonel Parker, another manager at WCW, was trying to sell me the Mount Rushmore. And we were out there filming that, but the actual tourist that was there thought that actually I was buying the Mount Rushmore, and you know, we were getting natural heat from just a tourist that was there. You can't buy that. That's national monument. You know, and I say, no, we could buy anything. You know, that kind of thing. So we had a lot of fun with it. It was a little bit of comedy, but it was, you know, people liked it and talked about, as you guys know, that the Japanese wrestling is not so much on television. The matches are much longer. So it's a different kind of wrestling. You know, there's no 5 minutes match and going home. You know, it's generally, you know, 30-minute matches, you know, 18-minute matches, you know. So Masa Saito did a match with Antonio Inoki on an island that lasted over 3 hours. So, you know, it's a different kind of program they do over there. But getting back to the original question, it's much, much easier, you know, to get a natural heat when we go country versus country. And the fact of that is, you know, as you guys will attest to, it's, you know, many countries, I mean, America does a lot of things very well, but there's other countries does very well, like such an amateur wrestling. You know, Iran is one of the power on amateur wrestling. They're probably, you know, number two or number three, always in international competition. So, you know, you can take something that it's a national pride and put it against, you know, you can stick it to United States as part of the storyline and make it really easy for you to get heat.
Now, Sheik Ali Akbar, when you broke into professional wrestling, what was the political climate like between Syria and the United States? And did you see yourself being looked upon by the fans as sort of a villain based upon where you came?
Yes, absolutely. Just by my director title alone, it was always he as soon as I come at the curtain. But as far as the political climate, pre-2001, not as extreme as it is today. Like I said, I started in 1996, and a lot of my promos, interviews, I always threatened with oil and gasoline. I threatened I'm going to raise the price of oil, I'm going to raise the price of gasoline. And, of course, you know, that a lot of heat from the fans, but, you know, nowadays the heat is a lot worse, you know. It's no longer pickles, but a lot deeper than just oil and gasoline, you know. A lot of fans can be, a lot, especially a lot of redneck, you know, redneck fans, because I do a lot of bookings in rural areas. A lot of, you know, just blue-collar American people, they can get very violent, you know.
All right. Now, Mr. Debashi, Yemen, not necessarily a traditional enemy of the United States, but it's from the Middle East, and there's been a lot of turmoil over the years. When you first broke in, what was the political climate like between the United States and Yemen? And since you've been in for quite some time, how is the continued political climate between the two areas affected your wrestling career?
Oh, good question, sign guy. Well, you know, it's kind of a touchy subject. I don't know where to start. This could be a whole new episode, but, you know, I believe the media has a big propaganda. And, you know, lately, you know, Al-Qaeda's in Yemen, and of course the government screwed up. The government, really, there's no government in Yemen right now, and the government's out for them. People are poor. The government takes all the money. They're rich, and, you know, they were getting paid by the United States millions of dollars to, you know, out Al-Qaeda. But personally, I think they're, you know, playing both sides. That's another issue. But as for me, yes, I remember right after 9/11, I was booked. I was living in the Midwest, and before I came back to the Northwest, I was booked in Pennsylvania under the guy who broke me and trained me, Johnny Graham, and he was afraid to put me on. It was in Newport, Pennsylvania, at the Newport High School, I believe, and you know, people. There's a lot of races and. I'm going to start to veer off, I'm sorry. But anyways, they wanted me to go as a face. And I lost a couple bookings because they didn't want to, you know, put a Middle Eastern out there. They, you know, because it was a, you know, touchy, you know, situation, 9/11. And so they wanted me to go out as face. I said, okay, I'll try. And the funny thing about it is, you know, I sang a little bit. You know, I could hold a tune, and they couldn't figure out. They said, what could you do to, you know, sway people? So what I did, I sang the national anthem a cappella, and I was an instant face after that. It was kind of cool. And then what was so funny, the fans backed me so much. They were going to have me come out with the I Dream a Genie you know, ring music, and the person forgot the CD. So I had a lady dressed as a genie, and the whole crowd was going do 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 as we're dancing to the ring. But affected me. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, I've been to places where. I was in North Carolina with Chief Atakula Kula. I almost got lynched in the parking lot just because, you know, sign guy, I'm me. I'm kind of old school. I'm my gimmick's 100% me. I mean, amplified 1,000 times in the ring. And I almost got lynched in North Carolina, Mount Erie, Pennsylvania. So it's kind of scary out there. I mean, I went to Kmart to go pick up some flags for gimmicks and stuff, and it almost felt like it was back in the slavery day. I was being segregated. I mean, there's racism with all races out there. So I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of went off on a tirade a little bit. Sorry about that.
Oh, I think you did answer it very well. Mr. Ono, being in WCW at the time, they were working with New Japan, like you said, and they were doing a lot of co-promotion with pay-per-views and so forth. What was the climate like for you personally, since you were aligned primarily with the Japanese contingent on American television? Did a lot of people, as far as fans go, think that you were trying to infiltrate WCW? This was before the NWO by a couple of years, and if my memory serves, the first thing you did was buy the WCW Pro television show from Bobby Heenan. So did you get a lot of fans angry at you for trying to infiltrate WCW seemingly?
Yeah, you know, you got to understand that because of television, and you know, the fans are pretty smart now anymore. So, you know, it's all about creating suspended, you know, reality during that period of television shows. I think since I was a mouthpiece, and you know, it was pretty easy for me to talk about, you know, how superior the Japanese wrestlers were. As far as the heat goes, it was a pretty, you know, pretty easy heat for me to get. You know, we just talked about how superior we were, and a guy like Mean Gene Okerlund and Bobby Heenan and Masa Saito helped me with creating the character. Those guys are a legend. You know, they have so much knowledge of the business. So, and Bobby and Mean Gene, a little comedian at best at the time when they do their things. And, you know, we did things like, you know, we would do a promo for, let's say, a territory in the South while we were doing a television down there. And me and Gene would ask, you know, a question about the fan base in Nashville or Tupelo. I would ask, I would tell my Japanese wrestler in Japanese, and me and Jim would ask me, well, what did you just say to Chono? And I would say, well, I would just explain it to him that down here in the South, they're very proud of their double Ys, you know, insinuating that they're talking about double Y trailers. And, you know, we said, and of course, me and Gene would chime in and say, yeah, that's where they live. Double Y trailers are very popular around here. And I would say, no. I found out why they're so, when they talk about their double wide, they're talking about their wife's behinds. And, you know, stuff like that. So you know, it was a comedy heat, you know, it was stuff like that. We, you know, and a lot of fun with it, you know, going to Sturgis and having a match versus, I represented Bo Nakano versus Medusa. Medusa rides in and pink Harley Davidson, and all the fans are riding and sitting in a motorcycle, and I ride in a Japanese crotch rocket with Bo Nakano. And the stipulation of the match was that loser get to smash the other guy's bike with a sledgehammer. And you can imagine the finish were Billy the Back suplex. And referee counts three, and so both girls' shoulders on the mat. So obviously, I assumed that my girl Bo Nakano has won. So I run out, you know, raise my slash hammer against brand new pink Harley Davidson or Medusa. And you know, at that point, I'm glad I didn't hit the slash hammer. I was stopped by Medusa, because you got to understand, there weren't really a wrestling fans at Sturgis. There were bikers that was at wrestling events. So, I saw a lot of firearms at that place. So I could have probably got shot there if I would actually hit that bike with a sledgehammer. So, but you know, it's easy to create those kind of heat, and we had a lot of fun with it. But listen, I'm gonna let you guys. I really have to run. So if you want to have me back, you can give me a call back. But I'll yield my time to the couple of other international star on the show with us, and just give me a call back if you can use me later.
All right. Well, Mr. Ono, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, and we would love to have you back. And anything you want to plug on your way out?
No, I think everybody, you know, like I said, I just did the DVD just came out by Eric Bischoff, and I'm in that DVD, and I think many of the fans will find the story of a sin and demise of Eric Bischoff video. I think you'll find it very interesting. Anybody should go out and get one.
Definitely, it sounds like a great DVD. So, Mr. Ono, thank you very much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me. All right, bye-bye.
Well, Ali Akbar, I know in your career...
Sheikh Ali Akbar.
I'm sorry, Sheikh Ali Akbar.
Yes.
My apologies. Now, you have been in wrestling during the incredible turmoil in the Middle East, of course, a lot of up and downs politically in nature between a lot of the Middle Eastern countries and North America. Have you run into many problems as far as getting bookings and being able to apply your trade because of the international conflicts going on?
Absolutely not. Whenever there's a problem in the news, my booking always go up, my friend. You know, a lot of the time it is a plus for me. I never had trouble, you know. I get the phone call right much. So my gimmick, my lifestyle for that matter, my portrayal, it is almost in demand in this part of the country where I live. So, no, it always works in my favor, you know, or I make it work in my favor. How about that?
Sounds good. Now, Mr. Debashi, you talked about promoters being a little bit leery with you. On the flip side, when something did happen, did you ever see anything like Mr. Akbar was saying where your booking suddenly picked up because of what was in the news?
Of course. They'd always wanted me to go up against a patriot or you know, the good old American versus the national terror. So, yes, you always can make it work to your advantage. I see that happen a lot. But what you got to be careful of, I never have too many problems with it, but every once in a while a promoter wants you to do something that was really stupid and degrading. And sometimes I'd have to, you know, don't cross that line. But, oh, yeah.
All right. Sheikh Ali Akbar, have you ever gone international as far as going to other countries outside of Syria and outside of North America? Do you ever go to, say, Europe or Asia or anywhere like that to apply your trade?
Not that I never have offered, but no, I stayed right here in the south part of the United States, Virginia, Carolina, West Virginia. It's been a long time since I've been to Pennsylvania and Maryland. But I like the wrestling fans in this part of the country. The wrestling fans in this part of the country are the best. They always have been. They love their passion. That's the word I'm looking for, their passion. I don't think you're going to find a passion over in Europe. I don't think you're going to find a passion some other country. It's right here. Professional wrestling has a long, rich history here in the mid-Atlantic, southeast or south part of the country. So I love this area. I don't plan on leaving it, and I don't want to leave. But not that I didn't never have an offer to go. You know, I had an offer a long time ago to go to Canada before, but I love the territory, you know, the area.
and the different independents that run this area, the fans, you know, they cannot be beat. And that goes for any other part of the country. The fans in this part of the country are the best. I don't think they're going to be in some other country. And that's the crowd I want to perform in front of, you know, the passionate wrestling fan. You understand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Debashi, I know you've gone down to Puerto Rico on numerous times. Have you ever gotten to Asia or South America or Europe to wrestle?
No, not yet. Trying to get some Japanese stuff in the works, but then, you know, been to Canada with ECCW, and I have to agree, back down in North Carolina, so they have some real passionate crowds out there. But one of my favorites too is a wrestle in Puerto Rico. One good thing about a Puerto Rico, when I remember when me and Chief went up there, and it was almost like a throwback to the 80s. I mean, we got there, we had a limo waiting for us. I mean, people knew who we are. You know, they had on WAPA TV and CBS Television, Puerto Rico, you know, had our promos always going. And, I mean, they believe, I mean, I was kind of in awe. I was like, I wish it was more like that, you know, more respected than the United States. But I know North Carolina, the East Coast, you know, Pennsylvania, they have real passionate fans. And I've seen they draw real well. I mean, in the thousands. I think the Northwest has a lot of work to be done. I think wrestling can be saved in the Northwest, but right now it's kind of a black hole over here. So to be able to make it, you got to travel.
And you referenced having some Japanese things in the work. I know you've not been there yet, but just using your own judgment, what do you think the reaction to someone like yourself would be from the Japanese wrestling fans?
Well, I think I would get a lot of heat. You know, me and Abdullah been running this angle for years, and where, you know, I jumped him, you know, in his restaurant, and that's a funny story behind that. But that, I really got a lot of heat when I got to to Puerto Rico with that. I mean, going to the arena, the outdoor show, I mean, I had batteries thrown at me, and a lady took my fork, that the one I originally got from Abby, threw it into the Caribbean Sea, because we had this big anniversary. It was an outdoor show on the dock or on the pier over there by the sea. It was a big anniversary. Matter of fact, I think it was the last show for RWA before they changed to a different promotion. It was on TV. It was huge. And I mean, I think, you know, Abdullah's really respected there. So if they go and, you know, use that angle, I think it would work, because Abdullah is, you know, working on getting his new hip, and he wants to do one more run. And even if he can't wrestle, he could be at ringside alongside my opponent.
All right. Well, gentlemen, my co-host QT has finally called in. I know that he has some questions for both of you. So Sheikh Ali Akbar and Daifula Debashi, does help you both if I pass things along to QT.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sungai. Mr. Sheikh Akbar, I saw your YouTube video called Wrestle Clash April 2014, Ali Akbar Hussein versus Mr. America. The first question that pops into my mind is, when you entered the wrestling area from the locker room, the American flag was prominently displayed on the wall. And if you watch the video as you are descending the stairs to the ring, you can see to the left of the Stars and Stripes, enough space to have accommodated an Iraqi flag. Why didn't you ask the promoter when you signed your contract that a dual nationality display be incorporated in the gym?
I don't really remember this show. You know, I see a lot of cities and towns. But first of all, I'm from Syria. And anywhere I go, you know, that's a good point. I should make a clause in any contract that Syrian flag should be on display and Syrian national anthem should play before any event that I am booked on.
Oh, okay. All right. For Syria, excuse me for my American ignorance. I thought you were from Iraq. Yes, very
that's
good.
That's no excuse, really, but I forgive you.
Okay. Well, Mr. Akbar, had the Syrian flag...
No. I see your first mistake. You referred to me as Sheikh Ali Akbar.
Okay.
My friends call me Noble Sheikh, but you call me Sheikh Ali Akbar.
Yes, and I apologize profusely. Yes, very bad.
Yes.
Mr. Sheikh Ali Akbar, had the Syrian flag been hung to the left of the American flag, the sign on the wall that said toilets would have been covered up. What do you think of the current American policy of transgender confused people being allowed to use the bathroom of their choice? And will such a fluid gender identity policy be instituted in Syria soon?
First of all, your question is too many words. But I want to say, a man is man, you know. I joined a man's sport. You know, we beat people. We hurt people. You know, it's a man's tough sport, you know. We don't use a lady bathroom, you know. We don't wear the makeup. We don't wear the dress. You know, if they had my way, all women cover themselves in this country. See, that's the thing, your country. You know, you lose the value. You lose the value. And every time I go out there, you know, to the ring, I remind every wrestling fan, you know, that, you know, this country goes in the toilet, you know. That's what I say. And I come out every time I do a booking, I remind the American wrestling fan that is exactly your trio society is crippled, just like our opponent in the ring is going to be crippled. You know, that's what I think of it.
Wow, very well said. Okay.
You understand what I said?
Well, yes, I understand, yes.
Okay.
But we can agree
to
disagree.
Your question very long, you know.
No more questions on fluid gender identity?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sheikh Ali Akbar, when Mr. America made his entrance in the Wrestle Clash video, he was wearing a lucha mask. The lucha mask is steeped in Mexican culture and folklore. This was an attempt to show what I believe is the multiculturalism and melting pot makeup of America today. My question is, do you have the equivalent of the luchador mask in Syria?
No. And first of all, if I see Mr. America again, I would refer him to Hotspots.com. They have a very good American wrestling mask for him, you know. But no, we don't... Only the women hide their face in my country. The men, no. You understand?
Well, I understand, but I myself am going to try to make it my goal in life to institute a gender-confused policy of toilet bathroom use in Syria. Yes.
Good luck with that, my friend, if you make it over there.
Okay. Well, and I also second tier to that is I'm going to try to bring the lucha mask to Syria. That's one of my main goals also.
Yes, it is a rule, only for women. Only women cover their face, okay?
Okay. Cover the face. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Sheikh Ali Akbar, will you let Turnbuckle Turmoil run a contest and come up with an American song for your entrance music? Because as you noticed, Mr. America had entrance music in your match with him, but you did not have any.
Well, you know, it's like a prejudice, you know. The promoter, the building, you know, they don't want to pay a Syrian national anthem. So maybe I suggest maybe next time I come out, I grab the microphone, I sing the Syrian national anthem. How about that?
Yes, they did show disrespect. The disrespect was shown when you asked for the Syrian national anthem to be played. That's true. How about if I try to come up with an American song for your entrance music called Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees?
Stayin' Alive. I'm not familiar, but, you know, disco music is popular in my country, but I'm not familiar with the Bee Gees, you know?
Okay, I understand very clearly on that, yes. Okay. Now, Mr. Ali Akbar, have you ever participated in the great American cultural event called Halloween? And is it true that this coming October that you plan to go trick-or-treating with Mr. America in Venice Beach, California?
You know, I don't like your stupid custom in this country, you know, like Halloween,
yes.
Independence Day. Well, you know, I don't agree with any of it, you know. And I know I started dressing up in costume. You know, a lot of fans, you know, these stupid wrestling fans, they say, she's wearing a costume. No, it is my everyday clothes, you know. My everyday clothes. The only one wearing a costume is this crazy American apparel I see you people wearing, you know.
Okay, I understand that very clearly. Okay. Well, Mr. Sheikh Ali Akbar, have you gone on a moonlight cruise with a hot young Syrian lady on the Strait of Hormuz?
You know, I come here for an interview today, but you do nothing but ask questions. I don't understand. But the thing is, when you have 11 wives at home, you don't need to go on the cruise, you know? You know what I say?
Well, now, wait a second.
I'm too busy to go on cruise. When you have 11 wives, you're too busy to go on cruise, you know?
Well, I have been on many cruises, yes. Many cruises.
Well, gentlemen, we have been joined by another guest we've been expecting. I want to bring him right on. Have we won Mr. Petrov?
Absolutely. A little fine guy.
Well, thank you for joining us today here on International Day. And I want to catch you up really quick with the question we asked to start. Can you tell us
World
the...
World Powers for Life.
Bozai,
yeah.
Bullet Bossy, I love you.
Well,
love you too, brother.
Mr.
Even
Petrov,
mad at me.
You were asking earlier, can you tell us the country that you represent here in the United States and what got you started wrestling here in North America?
Well, in the American professional wrestling, I represent the Russia as the country. You said as to why? Man, I like to fight.
Now, traditionally in the United States, Russians have not been looked favorably upon by American fans. This goes back to the 1950s and the Cold War. There's been a lot of Russian wrestlers over the years. You didn't see so many Russians competing from the early 90s when the Soviet Union fell until just in the last few years. They're making a bit of a resurgence. Can you tell us a little bit of the political landscape that was going on between the United States and Russia when you broke into professional wrestling and how it affected your career?
Well, a little bit, the political situation, like when I debuted was right after the Boston bombings had happened, and they were trying to blame Russia, and it was really, really intense. You make the debut, they scream obscenities, accuse you of things, like Daifula taught me, we're not terrorists. We are just terrors in the world of professional wrestling.
Amen. I've heard him say that, or timer 600. Since your debut in wrestling, Vladimir Putin has been someone that has been very formidable as he leads Russia back to prominence. A lot of Americans were in a bit of a fear of him for quite a while. Did you see a correlation between what Putin was doing for Russia and what got reported in the media and how fans reacted to what you were doing in your own wrestling career?
Well, you know, I can see how they might be fearful and intimidated. You know, after all, President Vladimir, you know, he not only rode the great white shark, but he also did it while holding rocket launcher. You cannot do that, fine guy, can you?
I do not have a license to use a rocket launcher, so I'll have to say no.
But you cannot also ride a great white shark.
I cannot, but those creatures are delicious, for the record.
Well, that's two things my president can do that you cannot.
Yeah, I guess you got a point there.
You should be scared. Everybody gets scared of a real tough guy.
I hear that.
Now, on our show, we've had a guest from Russia before, and one of them in particular made a point of saying he was genetically engineered by the Russian government specifically for professional wrestling. Is there any type of similarity between that situation and your own personal situation? Had you been altered genetically by the Russian government in the hopes of dominating professional wrestling?
Well, I was not transformed by Russian government. It was the Yemeni government. Daifola Dabashi, he bites me in the forehead one time, and I become rabid ever since.
Dabashi, did you bash this young kid in the head?
Yes. Yes, I took him under my wing. I remember that day very clearly. I had to bash him in the head to wake him up. And all I got to say, he's one of my prized possessions. He's his own man. He was the newest member of the World Power, and I am so proud of him, how he decimates his opponents in this ring. Mashallah. I was so proud of him when I came up with the cable, car jumping cables, and he used it on his opponent. When he goes out to beat someone, he does it with his heart. He don't go out to win. He goes out to terrorize. Just like I preached every day in his head, we are not terrorists. We are just terror in all of professional wrestling. Allahu Akbar.
Huh.
Well, gentlemen, we've got just a few minutes left in the show, but I want to make sure everybody has plenty of time to plug and promote, say what they would like as we wrap this up. So, Mr. Petrov, I know you didn't have a whole lot of time to give us, so I'll give you the time, plug, promote, say anything you'd like.
First and foremost, Daifola Dabashi's Radio Takedown, that must-listen-to podcast and radio show. Kevin Gill's podcast, but I would highly recommend you listen to DRT Radio.
Okay. All right. Sheikh Ali Akbar, anything you want to plug or promote, say to the listeners, floor is all yours.
Yes, finally, and I have an intelligent question. I want to plug Classic Pro Wrestling. Everybody within my listening voice, please like us on Facebook. It is a brand new company.
Okay.
I'm out of Virginia. I am the co-owner of this company. We're bringing back old-school, territory-style wrestling. Our first show is going to be Saturday, October 15th, New Kings County High School in Virginia. We are bringing in Rock and Roll Express. My good friend, Ivan Koloff, is going to be there. We're going to bring in a lot of good names from the past, you know. And Classic Pro Wrestling. Please like us on Facebook. Okay, I finished.
All right, well, thank you for being on the show today. We've enjoyed having you. Mr. Dabashi, anything you'd like to plug, promote, on top of what Mr. Petrov plugged and promoted for you? And anything you want to say to the listeners, floor is all yours.
Yes. It was an honor to be on the show with QTU, Sun Guy, and Noble Sheik. Petrov, you still on?
Mr. Petrov is bowed out.
Oh, he bowed out. Okay, well, Mr. Petrov, if you're listening, love you, brother. We don't talk as much. I might be still a little pissed at you, but besides the port, keep up the good work, man. Love you, man. You're doing a good job, and I'll talk to you soon. And I just want to say thank you, Sign Guy. And I just wanted to address this morning I woke up to that mass shooting in Florida. What a horrific tragedy. Please send all your prayers to all the victims and the ones who were affected. If people out there would go by the words of the late, great Muhammad Ali, a true Muslim, an ambassador of peace, this world would be a better place. I don't care what race, religion you are. Don't judge others by one person or person's actions. We're all in it for the fight. We're all in it for peace. We're all brothers and sisters. I want to say thank you, Sign Guy, and please listen to Debashi's Radio Takedown Friday. We have one of the fastest rising women superstar, Thunder Rosa, a.k.a. Cobra Moon from Lucha Underground. But send all your prayers today and for the victims over in Florida. That's all my rant for today, Sign Guy.
Very well said. Well, I want to thank everyone that participated on International Day here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Sonny Ono, Sheik Ali Akbar, Dayafullah Debashi, and Gregor Petrov. It was great having
Petrov.
All of them. If you're looking for some wrestling today, some choices out there, you have Kentuckiana Die Hard Wrestling happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana later today. You have Mid-Valley Pro Wrestling happening in Kaiser, Oregon, and NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, where later today I will be, as well as Gregor Petrov, I believe. Coming into NWA Blue Collar tonight also is Chris Youngblood. That's at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. So get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling wherever you find it. I'll agree with Mr. Petrov. Definitely check out the Boshi's Radio Takedown. Great program. We'll be back with you next Friday. We have Dahlia, the great valet out of Texas. So it should be a fascinating show. And then next Sunday afternoon, Rookie Day on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Some of the great young rookie talent that is currently making their names and trying to make it in the world of professional wrestling. We will talk to you next week.